Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding. And I hope you didn't think the Warriors and Grizzlies were just going to drop everything and focus on themselves and not each other over the weekend, because the back and forth on social media has escalated between Draymond Green and Ja Morant. And now the two are indirectly trying to schedule a Warriors-Grizzlies game for Christmas Day at Chase Center in San Francisco. Sign me up for it. Sounds like a good time. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, Ryan Hollins is going to join me. 10-year NBA veteran who, of course, concluded his NBA career with the Grizzlies. He's my colleague at CBS Sports for a little while. Now he's the color analyst for the Houston Rockets broadcast. So we'll talk to the big fella about various NBA topics, including the Warriors-Grizzlies feud. We're going to do it in the next segment. Ron Hollins will be here around 4:20. Finish that, take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 4:44, at which point we're going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Boise State transfer Emmanuel Akon announced a commitment to Memphis this weekend. That's big news for Penny Hardaway's program. We'll discuss it around 4:44. Matt Fitzpatrick won the U.S. Open this weekend by one shot over Will Zalatoris and Scottie Scheffler. Zalatoris missed a 14-footer on 18 that would have forced a playoff. I'll tell you how much that cost him a little later on this hour. Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets have reportedly reached an impasse about his long-term plans with the franchise. Seems his goofy ways have made him unwantable in Brooklyn. I understand. Get into that just before 5 o'clock. And Elon Musk's daughter has filed to change her last name. Would you like to know why, Big Bet Bennett?
Sure.
She no longer wants to be related to her father, who is also the richest man in the world. Interesting strategy. Like, there's, like, Elon Musk is on the short list of people I would like to be related to, and I don't even think I like him. I just think the pros got to outweigh the cons when it comes to being related to the richest man in the world. Like, whatever the cons are, the pros got to outweigh the cons. His daughter doesn't think so. Seems like a short-sighted strategy. We'll talk about that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cogg is just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NBA, where the Warriors and Grizzlies continue to talk and tweet about each other nonstop. The season ended 4 nights ago. I hate that the season ended, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
Kind of like the NBA season.
I enjoy it as well.
I always enjoy it. And then it's just over. 4 nights ago it ended. And pretty much every day since, the Warriors and Grizzlies, in addition to fans of the Warriors and Grizzlies, had just been going back and forth and back and forth verbally and then also via the written word on social media. If you missed any of it, here's a quick recap, more or less, that I think covers it. So during the regular season, Jaren Jackson Jr. Mocked Golden State's strength in numbers motto after the Grizzlies beat Golden State. He did this on Twitter. Klay Thompson saw it, by his own admission, got pissed off, and decided to bring it up after the Warriors won the NBA title last Thursday night. So John Morant responded to that. And that, by the way, to get a little more specific, was Klay Thompson saying, I saw that tweet. It pissed me off. And then he went on to call Jaren Jackson Jr. two things. A freaking bum and a freaking clown. So John Morant decided he had to respond to that. And he did so by tweeting that the Grizzlies have a lot of real estate in Golden State's head. And then Draymond Green, he's not one to let stuff slide. He responded by tweeting, quote, we traded that real estate in. The property value was higher in Boston, end quote. Let's stop right here for a minute. Is Draymond Green taking a shot at our cost of living?
I don't know. I don't know what was going on there.
The property value is better in Boston.
I think that's true.
But I also think that's fine. Like, sometimes people ask me, why do you live in Memphis? What's your favorite thing about living in Memphis? And I can say things like, you know, family and blah, blah, blah. But a big part of it is the cost of living.
Yeah.
You can live a pretty nice life here.
That's true.
I enjoy my life here.
I like mine too.
So Draymond Green can point out that the property value is greater in Boston than it is in Memphis. And I will acknowledge that's true, but I'll call that a good thing, not a bad thing. Bryson Wright decided to jump into it at this point and tweeted that a Warriors-Grizzlies Christmas Day game is all but guaranteed in San Francisco with all this back and forth between these two teams that just fought it out in the playoffs. And then Ja retweeted that, quote-tweeted it, and said, nah, it needs to be in the M. Bring them to the trenches. FedEx Forum is the trenches. And though I do think Warriors-Grizzlies is more fun in Memphis than it is in San Francisco, if only because FedEx Forum's more fun than Chase Center, if only because Whoop That Trick is a thing the entire crowd will sing and Draymond Green will dance to. As soon as I saw Joe Ja tweet that, I knew that he'd walked right into this one. Because Draymond Green quote tweeted that and said, the champs play at home on Christmas Day.
Fair enough.
It's a fair point.
Yep.
They are the champs. And by the way, that's the trump card every time.
Yeah.
You can take this wherever you want to if you're the Grizzlies. At some point, it's always going to circle back to the Warriors reminding you that they're the champs four times in the past 8 years, and more often than not, when healthy over the past 8 years. So Ja took that one, quote tweeted it, and said, quote, I'm coming to you then, book that S, I'm on your block.
Works for me.
Ja Morant is on Draymond Green's block.
I'm here for it.
I love it. Somebody asked me, what do you think about this? Should the Grizzlies, like, calm down? You know, they're young, for the most part, unaccomplished. You know, I mean, we could put some bullet points up there. Youngest team to do that, youngest team to do this, second most wins in the regular season. But they're largely unaccomplished as a franchise in general. And also specific to this core. So should they just zip their lips and quiet their Twitter fingers and stop talking crazy to the champs? Because the champs are the champs. And to that, I guess I'd say, if I were the Grizzlies, I'd be a little more reserved. I don't think I'd be talking about the champs like this. Just because I always find it a little goofy when people yell up This was my issue to the extent that it was an issue. But you remember when Lester Quinones was a freshman at Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking wild to Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield on Twitter. Like goofing on them because in the G League. I was like, Lester Quinones be lucky if he has a college career as good as either one of their college careers. And guess what? He didn't have one as good as either one of their college careers. And you do realize where Lester Quinones is likely playing professional basketball next season, right?
Probably the G League.
I'd bet money on it. I'd bet money he appears in a G League game. So, like, you were goofing on them? Now you right where they were, hoping to maybe be as good as they are? I always thought that was a little goofy. But whatever. I got a radio show to do, so be as goofy as you want. Gives me something to talk about. June 20th ain't the easiest day on the calendar. And I feel the same way about this. I wouldn't talk like this, yell up at the champs, but I don't mind that John Morant does it, and I don't mind that Jaren Jackson Jr. does it, and I don't mind when anybody else jumps into it either. Because on a surface level, it is impossible to look at the Warriors and look at the Grizzlies and call them rivals. One is led by a two-time MVP, two-time scoring champion, a finals MVP, a four-time world champion in Steph Curry, and the other has made the Western Conference Finals once in franchise history, won zero games in Western Conference Finals in franchise history, and never been past the second round of the playoffs, this version of the franchise. So on a surface level, what are we talking about? A Warriors-Grizzlies rivalry? This ain't really a rivalry. One of them keeps filling up trophy cases and the other one doesn't. But here's the truth. The Grizzlies, I think, can acknowledge the Warriors are the champs. Because, like, you know, that's done. They were handed the trophy last week after beating Boston four times in six games. I don't think the Grizzlies think the Warriors are better than them.
No. I mean, they have the...
And let me be clear. They might be wrong.
Sure.
But they think they're better than the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they... If Ja doesn't get hurt, who knows what happens in that series? I think that's where everyone's at. And keep in mind, the Grizzlies, even without Ja, beat them by 55 points in a game in the playoffs. Like, that's going to give you some confidence against that team.
You smashed them in Game 5. You played them hard in Game 6. You played them harder than anybody else did in this entire postseason, Celtics included. The Celtics lost four times to them by double digits.
Yeah.
That happened.
And were, let's be honest, shell-shocked after, I think it was game three, maybe.
Steph Curry was pointing to his ring finger in the third quarter of game six. He was not doing that against the Grizzlies or taking anything for granted.
Like, once Golden State got in their heads, it was over. You knew it was over.
The Grizzlies carried themselves as a team a certain way to the final buzzer. The Celtics did not. So, even if one franchise has accomplished a lot and the other not so much, the Grizzlies don't think the Warriors are better than them. Right now, in this moment, the Grizzlies think if you made them healthy and made us healthy and told us to go play right now, we'd beat them. That's what the Grizzlies believe. And here's the thing. There is a scenario where the Warriors just go, who are you talking to? What? We got a victory parade. We're not dealing with your nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
We're the champs.
And I get it. That's the trump card.
But they're not treating them that way.
Right.
They're engaging. You think Draymond Green would be engaging with the Sacramento Kings right now?
No.
Doesn't care. He'd just do crying, laughing emoji and be done with it. They're engaging. Klay Thompson, engaged. Draymond Green, engaged. And it's because I think, yeah, they probably believe that the Grizzlies are being goofy, young and goofy right now. They probably believe that. But I think they also see them as, them young dudes are coming for us. And I can't wait to play them again. And so this does set up. We wondered about it last week. Now, after this weekend, I think it's more likely than it was on Friday.
Yeah.
We get a Christmas Day game between the Grizzlies and Warriors. There's nothing more attractive than Grizzlies-Warriors on Christmas Day. Two good teams, two legitimate contenders, two superstars, two first and second team All-NBA guys on the roster. What more do you want? That's as good as you can do for a Christmas Day matchup if you're looking for quality teams, superstars, and real beef. Whether it's deeply rooted in some ugly place, I don't really think so, although Clay did sound like he was really bothered.
Oh, yeah, he was really mad.
But the other stuff could just be playful. Doesn't matter to me. It's out there. It's literally creating headlines on every sports website in the country. And I was reading one recap of all this, and at the bottom of the article, it said, same thing we're talking about. Grizzlies Warriors on Christmas Day would be awesome, but typically Christmas Day games involving the champs are rematches of the NBA Finals. And I said, is it really, though? So I went and looked it up. And I'm not here yelling fake news about anybody's story, but that's just not the truth. Christmas Day games involving the champs are not usually rematches of the NBA Finals. Hadn't been for several years. This past Christmas, the Bucks were the reigning champs. They played the Celtics. That's not a finals rematch. Christmas 2020, the Lakers were the reigning champs. They played the Mavericks. That's not a finals recap. That's not a finals rematch. Christmas 2019, the Raptors were the reigning champs. They played the Celtics. That is not a finals rematch. Christmas 2018, the Warriors were the reigning champs. They played the Lakers. That is not a finals rematch. So the past four Christmas Day games involving the world champion has not been a finals rematch. In fact, it's been a game between the champs and a rival from their own conference. When it was the Bucks and Raptors, they both played the Celtics from the East. When it was the Lakers and Warriors, the Lakers played the Mavericks and the Warriors played the Lakers. So the idea that, well, the NBA might want to match Golden State up with Boston as a finals rematch, I mean, maybe. But that's not what they've been doing for four straight years. And given the last thing we saw between the Warriors and Celtics and the last thing we saw between the Warriors and Grizzlies and everything we've seen since, to me, it's pretty obvious. The most interesting thing is Grizzlies-Warriors. At this point, if I had to guess one way or another, I'd say, yeah, I think they're playing on Christmas Day in Chase Center and probably in the premier time slot. Ryan Hollins is up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey. podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Run. Here come the menaces of sobriety, like what? Super thug is thumping on.
Boise State transfer Emmanuel Aycott announced a commitment to Memphis this weekend. It's a notable development for Penny Hardaway's program. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Carr gets to be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, the 10-year NBA veteran concluded his NBA career with the Grizzlies, worked with me at CBS Sports. Now he's a color analyst for the Houston Rockets broadcast. It's my favorite big fella, Ryan Hollins, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
Big fellas, GP, how you doing, man? Oh, we got a rough connection here. Big Bet Bennett, is that on our end or his end? Let's try again. Talk and see if we can hear you clearly now.
GP, how you doing, man? You got me?
I got you now. You're loud and clear. I appreciate you being here. And okay. How about this? I just noticed you're playing in the Big Three. What are you doing?
I am, man. You know what? I completely out my system. I love what's going on there. It's a fraternity and brotherhood there with the Big Three and just enjoying good basketball, man.
So you still hooping? How's your game holding up?
You know what, man? I got to kind of get back to it. I was rusty week one. We won. Joe Johnson went off. But, you know, you big fella, I'm just happy to be out there, man.
I understand. I'm talking to Ryan Hollins, former Grizzly, now color analyst on Houston Rockets broadcast. Let me start with this. I don't know how closely you followed the back and forth on social media between the Grizzlies and Warriors. Klay Thompson calling out Jaren Jackson Jr., then Steph Curry saying that the Grizzlies have a lot of real estate in Golden State's head. Then Draymond pops in. Ja pops back. What do you make of what's going on between the reigning champions and the up-and-coming Grizzlies?
I love it. I love that the young Bucks are talking.
I think we lost Ryan Hollins again. Why don't you disconnect and see if we can get him back. We had a little bit of a iffy connection from the jump and seemed to drop the call right there. But, you know, obviously this has been a story in the NBA, not just Memphis and San Francisco, or in Memphis more than San Francisco, but a legitimate NBA story. To the extent that any of this is a legitimate story, but a legitimate NBA story that, you know, shows up on, you know, the ESPN television shows and creates real national headlines, the back and forth between the Grizzlies and Warriors. And it seems to have, resonated outside of these markets and really made an impact in the NBA, particularly in the offseason. Ryan, I got you back now. Just as you were stating, you love what you see in the back and forth between the Grizzlies and the Warriors.
I think it creates must-see TV. And I think the fact that the Warriors are responding, it just says a lot. And the Grizzlies have their ear. And this almost reminds me of, and hopefully for Memphis' sake, Michael Jordan's beef with the Pistons. You knew the Pistons kind of had a hold on the NBA. They were the champs, and, you know, they had the culture and the history, and, you know, Mike and those Bulls just kept knocking on the door, and they finally burst through. So I think that it's exciting for Memphis. You see the respect they have. Just from the conversations that are being had, like, you win the championship and you're responding to stuff. I wouldn't have any response if I was the Warriors, but it shows that the Grizz have actually made some noise.
Well, that's the thing. I made the point earlier. Like, if it was De'Aaron Fox popping off about the Warriors right now, nobody would be responding to that because he's a Sacramento King. Who cares? The fact that Draymond has responded that Klay brought it up in his postgame press conference after just winning a fourth championship, suggests that I think you're right. They really do have the Warriors' ear and the Warriors' attention. That was a phone call dropping again. My big fella's got the worst phone in the world. The fact that Klay Thompson brought it up in the postgame press conference and Draymond Green is going back and forth with Ja Morant, again, it's evidence that the Grizzlies do have the Warriors' attention. Maybe not full-time because, you know, Golden State is enjoying a parade today out in San Francisco, but they clearly got their attention on some level. So, listen, I know you're not in charge of any television network, but if I put you in charge of an NBA schedule, would you be interested in giving me Warriors Grizzlies on Christmas Day?
Absolutely, Christmas Day. That's done. And the funny thing is, it should be Warriors in Boston, but the Grizzlies have inserted themselves. And this is a group, GP, that they like the commentary. They like the trash talk. Like, this is old school NBA. Like, this isn't a thing like, oh, man, these guys are going to talk and it ain't going to get backed up. Like, these are going to be spirited games, and you've seen this matchup, you know, a couple times before. So I think it's must-see TV. You got to watch it. And like I said, it only fuels the Grizzlies on, and it gets them going. And I'm telling you, it is going to be chippy, and it's going to be spirited, man.
I'm talking to Ryan Hollins, a former NBA player, 10 years in the league, played with the Grizzlies, and is now color commentator on Houston Rockets broadcast. Let's talk Warriors specifically for a moment. Four nights ago, they won their fourth title in 8 years. If KD doesn't get hurt in that last year, it's probably five in 8 years. What do you make of what Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson have been able to do with that franchise?
Man, I think they're the closest thing we have to the Spurs in professional sports. You know, you're able to have your homegrown talent. They get a little older, and you insert pieces around them to make it work. Now, that the curse that turned into the gift was essentially Klay Thompson going missing for 2 years, coming back, playing at a high level because he's one of the greatest shooters, the second greatest shooter to ever play the game. Sorry, Reggie Miller. And with him being able to do that, you got to develop Jordan Poole, bring Wiggins along, and make some moves that put you back in contention. So they've done everything excellent, and I think that just you're seeing them to be able to get back to that high of a level, because you can say, well, you had Steph Curry. Well, guess what? Some guys have a Steph Curry, and they mess it up. You know, you didn't see LeBron necessarily being able to do that in Cleveland. You didn't see Dwayne Wade do it in South Beach. You know, hey, Kobe Bryant, you know, kind of had to mix and match and trade and pull some pieces around. But, you know, just that drafted homegrown talent and being able to win, you got to take your hats off to their front office, and you got to take your hats off to their stars for sticking with it.
I saw a clip circulating on Twitter over the past week, which was you on ESPN after the Brooklyn Nets obtained Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and you made it clear that you weren't sold that this was actually going to be a combination that competed at the tip top of the sport. Here we are a few years later, and it looks like you were right, and now Brooklyn seems to, you know, just to quote the report, be at an impasse with Kyrie Irving about the future of that of their relationship. What did you see back then that most people didn't see when it pertained to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving being awesome in Brooklyn together?
Man, I play with Kyrie, and I love that dude to death, first off, and I hope that works, because they've done it from a player standpoint, and I think the more that you can empower players to get former players on the bench and coaching and in the front office, I think that's amazing, and I love what's going on there. But those two hadn't shouldered the responsibility of leadership and in full. And I'm not saying that they can't, but, you know, it was LeBron in Cleveland, and it was Steph Curry from a leadership standpoint in Golden State. And those two had to show that. It's important, and I just hadn't seen it yet. So I think that when you think about championships and success, it's not just the talent. And in Golden State, they had culture. So culture was what I questioned them being able to build. It was never the challenge. And, you know, the word I used was intriguing. And GP, I'm going to make this very known and clear to everyone who's listening. I said a lot of things that were spot on right on ESPN. They just don't always hear it or broadcast it, but it was cool to get some kudos. GP.
I saw it, and certainly you were spot on with that. When I'm talking to Ryan Hollins here, 10-year NBA veteran who's now on the broadcast with the Houston Rockets. Listen, the Rockets are clearly still in a rebuild. They're picking third on Thursday night. Most people assume they're going to end up with Paolo Banchero, because Chet Holmgren and Jabari Smith, in some order, are going to come off 1-2. Are folks in Houston excited about that possibility?
Yeah, I think this is a great spot to be in. You know, normally you love to be, you know, first pick, second pick, but I think this is an extremely deep draft. Any of those top four or five guys could easily be the first pick in the draft. We may see things get out of order in that sense. You know, we'll see what happens on draft day, but I don't think there's just a clear-cut pick, and I think when you draft third, you get to get your guy. You don't have to wait. You don't have to be the team that messes up on a pick, and honestly, I think you could go either way. This is just speaking from my opinion. So I think the Rockets are in a golden position with the players, the young talents there, the Jalen Greens, the Josh Christophers, the KJ Martins, moving Kevin Porter Jr. moving forward. And I think ultimately you get the draft and add on another really valuable piece. And then the move they made, I'm going to really, really miss Christian Wood going, but you get another draft pick. So I think the Rockets are in amazing shape right now.
You mentioned Jalen Green. He's a guy who had some Memphis connections. Penny recruited him to the University of Memphis. Obviously decided to go with the G League, and it worked out fine. He was a top five pick. What did you see from him in his rookie season?
Man, the NBA game was a little too fast, a little too physical for him to start. And I saw Jalen buckle down, get focused, and just said, hey, man, I am not going to be – my season's not going to be like this. And I think he had one of the biggest improvements midseason that I have ever seen out of a basketball player. And the way that he was not just a scorer, GP, not just flashes, a consistent scorer, and the way that he continued to get better was just – it was monumental. It was – honestly, it was a lot. So – I think watching him and watching his growth and watching his development was, amazing. And I think that he's a star, going to be a star in this league for years to come. And I'm excited because I think he just, whatever expectations we had of him, he exceeded them all. So it's kind of fun to see what he can become.
Wrapping up here with Ryan Hollins, 10-year NBA veteran, former Grizzly, now color analyst for Houston Rockets broadcast. Last thing before I let you go. I wrote about this earlier today, just how the center position in the NBA has evolved even since you were drafted out of UCLA. You know, traditional centers who can't guard in space have been devalued in exchange for, maybe smaller guys who can, get switched onto a smaller player and still stay in front of them, you know, out on the perimeter. We see bigs get played off the court all the time. It happened to Steven Adams in the Grizzlies series against the Timberwolves. Just what do you make, as you've both lived it and observed it, of how much the center position has changed over the past 10 to 15 years? Because I don't think any other position in any other mainstream sport has changed this much.
Yeah, that's a good point. And what you're going to start to see, GP, is that, you know, Steph Curry, you know, is the reason that me and you were doing CBS and radio a lot sooner than I would like to expect it. You know, seven-footers who run and play defense are supposed to kind of last, you know, 10 to 15 years, but it's all good. But you will start to see, GP, is the skill set of the big guys start to evolve. You know, you'll get the Joel Embiid, you'll get the Jaren Jackson Juniors, you'll get the Karl Anthony Towns. You'll see that skill set improve, and then those guys will be able to play on the floor. And I think that, and I know there's still a value where you got to have a Steven Adams. You got to have those big bodies down low, or else you're going to get blasted on the board. So you can't get too small, and you don't want to play, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. at the five the entire season. You want to play when you need him, because a lot of, you know, Memphis's success was that they were able to play big. You know, teams had to match up with the size and what they were able to do defensively on the boards. But, yeah, there are moments when your center has to sit down. So, no, the same value is not there. And you can look over in Phoenix and look at DeAndre Ayton. And, you know, in the past there wouldn't have been question of maxing out your star center. You know, now they're going, man, is this smart, or do we want to put out this much money? And these questions never would have been happening in the past, GP. So the way the game is played is different. The skill set of these bigs are going to change and catch up, and then, you know, the big guy won't be as extinct, and we're starting to see it, because you got to think, GP, As soon as I stepped out of to shoot a three-pointer, any coach of mine told me I'm going straight to the bench as soon as I did it.
That's right.
So now you're seeing, right, at the youth levels, they're starting to shoot the three. In high school, they're starting to shoot the three, the big guys, you know. In college, they're starting to shoot the three. And now that's going to translate over to the NBA. So it is going to be about, you know, a 10 to 15-year jump possibly because we're going all the way from the youth level.
That is Ryan Hollins, UCLA Bruin, 10-year NBA veteran, played with the Grizzlies, now doing broadcasts for the Houston Rockets. He's on Twitter, at the Ryan Hollins. That's at the Ryan Hollins. Great to catch up with you, buddy. Hope you're doing well. When you come by Memphis, we're going to get together.
Oh, man, I'm down. I'll see you on Bill Street, GP.
All right, baby. I'll see you. Bye-bye. That's Ryan Hollins, a former colleague of mine at CBS Sports, now, of course, a color analyst on Houston Rockets broadcast. I wrote this story earlier today. I'm just sort of fascinated by it because I'm sincere. Like, no position in mainstream American sports has been devalued more than the center position. Spent a lot of time over the past month or so talking to NBA front office members, former NBA front office members, and just sort of like getting them to explain from their perspective, like what happened and why can we ever get it back? Because you look at a guy like Kofi Coburn coming out of Illinois right now, 7'1", 275, like a big, like he's not Shaquille O'Neal, but in college looked about this close to we've seen to Shaquille O'Neal in a long time. Two-time All-American, super productive, ripped down rims, and he might not get picked Thursday. If he were the exact same player 20 years ago, I don't think he falls out of the top 10. He might not get picked at all because beast mode centers aren't valuable anymore. And Ryan Hollins was, you know, you heard him joke about it, but like what he said is right. I plan to play in the NBA longer than I did. The game changed around me.
Yep.
And suddenly, 7-foot rim protector who can run up and down the court, that guy's not as valuable anymore as somebody who, when you get put in a ball screen, you can switch and stay in front of your guy. What multiple front office people told me is that if somebody is an elite talent, like Joel Embiid, well, then you can overlook some other stuff. And if somebody has such a incredible skill set offensively, like Nikola Jokic, you can then, you know, put them in drop coverage and just deal with it. But unless you have this incredible, unique skill that offsets what you're giving up defensively, it just becomes very hard to play you. And it might impact where Chet Holmgren is going to get picked. It's definitely impacting where Jalen Duren is going to get picked. And every other traditional slash one position player who is a center who gets picked on Thursday night, like the franchise that does it is doing it, you know, with their fingers crossed. I talked to one front office person who said, me personally, I wouldn't spend a top 10 pick on a center. Talked to another one who said, because we got into a conversation about Steven Adams. He's a traditional center, Steven Adams is.
Mm-hmm.
He said, where was Steven Adams picked in his draft? And I said, 12th in 2013. He was the 12th pick coming out of Pitt by Oklahoma City in 2013. You know what the person told me? He'd be picked no higher than 23rd now. Exact same player, exact same age. He couldn't get into the top 20 now. And that wasn't even a bad pick.
Like, no, I mean, yeah.
He's been good.
Starting player in the league for a long time.
Yeah, yep. He's been good. But he couldn't even possibly hope to get picked 12th or even 15th or even 20th in the 2022 NBA draft. If he came out same age, same size, same skill set, that's how much the game has changed. People like that are no longer valued, for the most part, as draft prospects. And you're going to see that on Thursday night. Chet Holmgren's going to go in the top 2, 3. Certainly top 5, maybe number 1. But after that, there might not be another center taken in the top 10. And that just would not have been a normal thing 15, 20 years ago. But with the way the game has changed, shooting being so emphasized. It's a bad time to be a traditional center. If you are coming out of college right now as a traditional center, you were born too late. Emmanuel Acott, Boise State transfer, has committed to the University of Memphis. That happened this weekend. We'll talk about it next. You listen. Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. Five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered three times to create a soft finish, as you surely know by now. It is so smooth, you can drink it straight, and I promise you it is what I buy when I'm inside a liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. It wouldn't make any sense for you, me, anybody else, to spend extra money on any other brand. New Amsterdam Vodka is going to be the best value you're going to find when you're looking for a quality vodka to enjoy. If you like flavored vodkas, they make a whole bunch of them. Watermelon, lemon, raspberry, orange, red berry, peach, pineapple, coconut, passion fruit. And if you're on a gluten-free diet, they make a gluten-free vodka. Not everybody does, but New Amsterdam does. It's got a brown label on it, so if you don't see it in your favorite store, ask them to get it for you. Next time you're in a restaurant, ask for it by name. Next time you're in a bar, ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka, pour your soul out on the web, NewAmsterdamSpirits.com. Jeff Coggins is going to join me a little at the 5 o'clock, but right now I've got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four Stories at 444 is presented by Boom City Fireworks.
Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 444. Story number one.
Notable development for the University of Memphis men's basketball program. Emmanuel Acott, Boise State transfer, double-digit scorer for an NCAA tournament team, announced a commitment to the Tigers this weekend. So he looks like he'll be slotted right into that starting lineup with at least Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams. He's a really nice piece. We spent a lot of time talking about him last week. Became clear pretty quickly after he visited that he was probably going to commit to the Tigers. Publicly did that yesterday. And there's some real thought that Memphis is going to add another player this week to the roster. And the name that is popping around a lot is Keontae Kennedy, a young man who is a 6'5 guard, started his college career at Xavier, didn't get much run there, but then has played the past 2 years at UTEP. And this past season, averaged 14 points, 6 rebounds a game, only shot 32% from three on 4.8 attempts per contest. So you'd like that number to get up a little bit. But, you know, a 6'5 wing that can guard multiple positions, and at least at UTEP he took threes. Like, he had a green light to do that. The percentage wasn't good and has never been good. But if you got a coach letting you take 5 threes a game, somebody thinks you can make them, even if the percentages aren't good. So, listen, I don't know, with Acott off the board, there's another impactful, like super impactful, that moves the needle for you transfer to get, unless it's maybe bringing Amani Bates back.
But Keontae Kennedy, I mean, listen, Memphis has got like a million scholarships.
Yeah.
So if you spent one on Keontae Kennedy, it makes sense to me.
What's going on with Imani Bates?
Oh, I don't know.
Anything? Like, that is the weirdest thing, right?
I mean, everything.
I mean, it just seems like you hear about stuff, right?
Literally everything connected to Imani Bates since he's been about 15 years old has been weird.
Yeah.
And mishandled. And it hasn't gone well. The people, like, I've seen debates going back and forth about this. Like, would you take Imani Bates back if you were Memphis? My answer is yes, because he is talented. But
right.
you know what else I would do?
Mm.
Because this is what some NBA people told me last year when it got off to a bad start. They said the mistake Penny made, and I use quotes around the word mistake, because what I'm going to say after this is going to tell you why you couldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But they said the mistake Penny made with Imani Bates is you should have just told him from the jump, you're going to have to come in and earn everything. Not giving you anything. You're going to have to come in and be one of our best players if you want to play. We're not just going to. Instead, he was like, you're going to come in and lead us in shots per game and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you should have told the dad, you can't come here. You have to stay away. If you're going to send me your son, I'm going to coach him. And I need you not around. I need you not running interference. I need you not being a distraction. Like, I had an NBA person tell me that last December when I was like, what do you make of what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But then you know what the NBA person said? If you told him all those things, you wouldn't get it.
He's not coming, right?
Right. So, like, it's really not a mistake. Like, it's easy to say now you should have set these boundaries and set a standard up front. But if you started saying that to his father, well, then you're out of it. You're not getting him anyway.
Well, it's funny you say that because, I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that he's, like, not on a college basketball team right now.
Well, what I would do now. So somebody said, would you take Imani Bates back now? And I said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I would say? All that stuff.
Yeah. We're starting over.
Yeah. And, Dad, you're staying out of it.
Yeah.
You know? And next time you're standing up at FedEx Forum yelling wild stuff, like, your son will be suspended for that. You need to stay out of the building. Maybe just move back to Michigan. Let your son – maybe detach and let your son grow up a little bit.
Because
mm-hmm. maybe you thought what you were doing was going to work, but can we all acknowledge it ain't working?
Right.
What your plan ain't working, so maybe it's time to try something else. So I would take him back, but it would be under stricter circumstances. I do think he's talented. I do think there's
I mean, we saw it.
I do think there's a scenario where he could have a breakout sophomore season.
Yeah,
but if I were going to take him back, it would be under a very specific set of circumstances. Like, I don't know what they thought. If they thought, like, well, Duke and Kentucky will be knocking down our door, but that's just not true. They don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people were willing to deal with it. People have – I could talk for hours about this. People have always dealt with the dad because they thought it was worth it to mm-hmm. deal with the dad. But once the son shows himself to be a not very good college basketball player, I don't need to deal with all this.
Right.
Like, you're calling me every day, causing problems within my program, bad-mouthing me behind my back. Your son's not good enough for me to deal with this. And that's where the Kentuckys and the Kansases and the Dukes and the Indianas and the UCLAs, they're not dealing with this. And so I think his options are limited. Not non-existent, but they're probably more limited than they thought they would be when they announced they were going into the transfer portal. But at some point, they'll have to figure out what they're going to do for the next year. And I don't think he's in a position where he can just sit it out and enter the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to go somewhere where he has an opportunity to prove he's a different player and a real player. He did a lot of damage to his stock over the past year. I got to do an initial 2023 NBA mock draft come Thursday night. I don't think he's going to be in it. So he's got a lot of stuff to prove, and just sitting out for the next year, that's not the way to prove it. Either way, circling back to the initial story, Emmanuel Akot is a Memphis Tiger, and the Tigers on paper look like a likely NCAA tournament team.
Story number two.
Congrats to Matt Fitzpatrick. He won the U.S. Open yesterday.
I saw that.
Finished 6-under, shot a 60, final round 68. I saw this stat, or heard this stat. I was listening to a golf podcast over the weekend, and the host of it predicted Matt Fitzpatrick to win going into Sunday. Now, that's not a big stretch. He was literally
leading, yeah.
Yeah, he was the favorite to win going into Sunday. But he said, here's the thing about Fitzpatrick. In birdies per round, he's really low relative to the PGA Tour. Bogeys per round, one of the best in the world. In other words, he's not going to go shoot 62 with seven, you know, with nine bird, whatever. He's not going to, he ain't going to go out and put together this ridiculous round where it's just birdie. He can't do that. Or at least he doesn't do that consistently. But what he does is avoid mistakes. What he does is avoid big numbers. And in the U.S. Open with those conditions, like that was the key. Who can avoid the big numbers? Like Scottie Scheffler takes a two-shot lead. And it's like, ooh, Scottie Scheffler's running away. No, nobody's running away on that course with these conditions on this weekend. It's who can avoid the mistakes. And Matt Fitzpatrick was able to avoid the mistakes. And then, of course, hits the big shot on 18 out of the sand. You know, that's they made it out like it was one of the greatest golf shots of all time. I mean, it was a great pressure-packed shot, but like for a professional golfer talented enough to win the U.S. Open, like putting on the green from 150 out of the sand is not that big of a deal. But you throw in all the variables, the pressure, the everything. It's a notable shot in Matt Fitzpatrick's career at the very least. So he wins $3.15 million. And then Will Zalatoris and Scottie Scheffler finish tied for second, so they each get $1.56 million. Zalatoris, of course, misses that putt on 18. 14-footer, just left it left. It needed to do something that he was asking it to do that it just did not do. And he's known as being a shaky putter, so statistically speaking, he was not going to make that putt, but he took a run at it. He got it there. It just, you know, left about an inch to the left. And if he would have made that putt, he would have gone into a playoff and had a chance to win an extra $1.59 million. If he'd have made that putt and then won the playoff, he would have got it'd have been worth $1.6 million more to him. At the very least, if he makes the playoff, even if he doesn't win the playoff, it was still an extra $330,000. So that at minimum, missing that 14-foot putt cost Will Zalatoris $330,000 and possibly cost him $1.59 million more plus his first major. Still hasn't won on the PGA Tour, but he's been great. Rookie of the Year last year, and he's now the first player with six top tens in his first nine career major starts in the past 65 years. Tiger didn't do it. Jordan Spieth didn't do it. Rory didn't do it. So he's been terrific, just hasn't held the trophy. Second at the 2021 Masters. Second at the 2022 PGA Championship. Tied for second at the 2022 U.S. Open. So he's finished second in three of the past seven majors. That's incredible, and why I don't think it's a stretch to say that he'll probably get one soon.
Story number three.
Cuckoo Kyrie is at it again.
I saw.
Him and the Brooklyn Nets are reportedly at an impasse about his long-term plans. He's got a player option for nearly $37 million, but he obviously would like a long-term deal. And it doesn't appear Brooklyn is that interested in giving him the type of long-term deal that he desires, so they have reached an impasse.
Well, I get it.
There is no scenario I'd give this guy a long.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.